It's Monday, April 8, 2024, and we're in the Pat Price Tech Talk training room. I'm Larry Gassman, co-chair of Accessible World and Tech Talk. And our guest tonight is Matthew Horsfall. And to introduce him and to talk a little bit about what's going to be happening over the next hour, here's John Gassman.
All right. And Matthew's been with us before. We talked in at length about Braille displays, and it was more of an introduction, and we thought it would be a good idea to have Matthew back, and we'll talk about Braille displays in more detail again this time around. Connecting them is an interesting topic. We heard him talk about connecting Braille displays on a Braillist Foundation webinar several weeks ago, and it was very interesting, so we thought it would be a good idea to have him come back and talk to everybody about it. So welcome back to Tech Talk, Matthew Horsfall.
Well, thank you very much. And in line with what's been going on in the US today, I just have to say it's a total eclipse of the heart to be here, to be back with you all.
That was a stretch.
Yeah, it was. But, well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You can forgive
me.
What
do you expect?
Right?
Exactly right. And
you're having a total eclipse right now.
Yeah, right. or something. So it's a real pleasure to be here. And thank you for inviting me back. So as you said, a while ago, I came here. It was the 30th of October, I think. It might have been the 30th of October, my time or your time. I can't remember. But I did a session about choosing your Braille display, and it went down pretty well, I think. And so did you, I guess. And so we sort of thought it'd be worth coming back and doing the sequel to choosing your Braille display. We're going to assume that you've chosen your Braille display. If you haven't chosen your Braille display, listen in anyway, because you might pick up some tidbits along the way. The session on choosing your Braille display is, of course, available from the Tech Talk podcast, which you can get in all good podcast programs, and they'll tell you about that at the end, I guess. But yeah, the sequel. You've chosen your Braille display. What are you going to do next? And you're either going to use it in standalone mode or you're going to connect it to a computer. And it's the connecting it to a computer bit that we're going to talk about today. It's only the connecting it to a computer bit that we're going to talk about today. Not strictly a computer. We're going to talk about connecting it to a Windows computer or an iPhone. And the reason why we're going to do that is because actually there's a few things that you need to consider. It's perhaps not quite as easy as you would expect it to be, you know. I mean, it's not too bad once you've got the hang of it. But, well, there's perhaps some things that you might want to be talked through just so that you can get the best experience possible out of it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. In particular, we're going to be talking about the pros and cons of Bluetooth and USB. When would you use USB? When would you use Bluetooth? When would you not use Bluetooth or USB? How to pair and unpair your Braille display via Bluetooth. We'll do that on the iPhone and we'll do it on Windows. We're going to talk about drivers and how to install them. What are the different types of driver? Because would you believe there's more than one type of driver? And we're going to pick that apart a bit, and we're going to do a bit of talking around that theme. We're going to talk about the initial setup of screen readers. So we're not going to talk about how to use your screen reader in this session. Maybe we will in a future session. But we're going to talk about actually what options do I need to go to in my screen reader to get Braille to come up in the first place. Very briefly, we'll touch on using Braille without speech, and that'll take us to about 45 minutes past the hour, maybe 46, 47 minutes past the hour, and then we will open it up for questions to fill out the final kind of 15 minutes or so. So really hope that appeals to you, and we shall get on with it, I guess. So we'll start at the top of the list then, and we'll start off by talking about the pros and cons of Bluetooth and USB, and we'll actually take those in reverse order. We'll start off by talking about the pros of USB. USB has been around for a long time. It stands for Universal Serial Bus. It's been around since the early 2000s. Most Braille displays now, in fact, all Braille displays now, other than some legacy Braille displays that are no longer available for sale, use the USB protocol. Obviously, there are different USB connectors. Most Braille displays have a USB-C connector. You might encounter a Braille display that has a micro USB connector or a mini USB connector, but they're all basically USB. In the early days of USB, there were all sorts of things that you needed to consider, and sometimes that is still the case. You would find, for example, that if you plugged a Braille display into one USB port when it was being set up, and then you plugged it into another USB port when you were using it, it might cause some issues. That is something to be aware of, and if you are plugging a Braille display in via USB, it is a good idea, if at all possible, to use the same USB port all the time, but it's by no means a requirement anymore. USB has been around for such a long time that it has become a very stable standard. And that really is the predominant reason why I tend to advise people, if at all possible, to connect their Braille display via USB. You are going to get an absolutely solid connection out of that thing. It's not going to go wrong. You're not going to have problems where, you know, the computer just suddenly stops recognizing your device, or you've rebooted your computer and the Braille display hasn't connected or anything like that. If you're on a computer, USB is typically the way to go. Of course, if you're on an iOS device, USB is hardly ever the way to go. There are very few Braille displays on iOS that actually work via USB. So Bluetooth is your only option on iOS most of the time, with a few notable exceptions. But continuing with the theme of USB, apart from reliability, the other reason why I would tend towards USB is power management. If you think about it, you're probably connecting to a laptop. You're probably not connecting to a desktop computer. You might be. And if you are, well, then it's a no-brainer. But you're probably connecting to a laptop. And so a laptop has got a battery. Now, if you think about Bluetooth, a Bluetooth device is wireless, which means that the Bluetooth device has also got to have a battery. And most Braille displays do have a battery, but then you've got to think about charging up two batteries. So this means potentially you've got to find two plug sockets. There are not always two plug sockets available, and even if there are two plug sockets available, they might not both work. So if you think about USB, if you've connected your Braille display to your laptop via USB, there's one cable from the laptop to the Braille display, and that cable is supplying both data, so it's making the Braille display talk to the computer, and power. So the Braille display is getting its power from your laptop. Now, that does, of course, mean that the laptop has got to have enough power to power the Braille display. This is a fair point. It does mean that probably you're going to have to plug the laptop in to make sure the laptop stays powered up, but at least you've only got to find one plug socket instead of two. And if we continue on the theme of power, somebody might say, well, in that case, that might be a reason not to use USB. That might be a reason to use Bluetooth, because it means that the Braille display is not going to be drawing power from the laptop. Well, the thing is, if you use Bluetooth, that means that the Bluetooth transmitter is going to be drawing power from the laptop. And in all likelihood, the Bluetooth module is probably going to use more power than your Braille display. So if your objective is to conserve power on your laptop, connecting the Braille display via USB would allow you to turn the Bluetooth module off. And that in the long run, even though your Braille display is drawing power, that would probably save battery as compared with having the Bluetooth module turned on. The final thing to say in favor of USB is that some Braille displays allow you to transfer files to them and use them at the same time. These are Braille displays that use the media transfer protocol. So, for example, the Mantis Q40, the Brailliant BIX series, the Chameleon 20, the Vario Ultra, all of those displays allow you to use the display and transfer content at the same time. Transferring content only works via USB. So you couldn't use the display via Bluetooth and transfer content at the same time, but you could use the display via USB and transfer content at the same time. So all of this about USB makes you think, well, selling it so well, that what is the point of Bluetooth anyway? As I said, right at the start or near to the start, on iOS, it's probably your only option, unless you are using one of the HID Braille displays like the Mantis or the Brailliant. The other thing about Bluetooth is that it is wireless. And I think it's important. I mean, having said all that I said about USB, it is important to debunk some myths. You know, if you go back 20 years, if you think back to when wireless internet first became a thing, you would be told by many people that, wireless is fine, but if you want to do anything serious with the internet, you've got to plug it in with an Ethernet cable. To a certain extent, that is still the case, but nowhere near to the extent that it used to be. And the same is true for Bluetooth. There was a time when Bluetooth was horrendously unstable and you really didn't want to use it unless you absolutely had to. By and large, those days have been and gone. Bluetooth is stable. I don't think it's quite as stable as USB, but it is stable. And once it's connected, it's just going to keep going and going and going until it's disconnected. So it is completely wireless. It is completely stable. Being completely wireless has some advantages. If you're delivering, say, a PowerPoint presentation, you could have your laptop connected to the HDMI port of the projector, and you could have your Bluetooth Braille display on. You could be wandering around the room with your Bluetooth Braille display. You could literally be at the back of the room while the laptop is at the front of the room, and you'd be able to use the features of your screen reader to be able to control the PowerPoint presentation. You'd be able to control your laptop entirely. So having that option is sometimes very, very valuable. You might also find that sometimes you just don't want wires. If you're in an environment where you're doing a lot of moving around, I mean, you've got to weigh it up, right? You've got to weigh up the charging benefit versus the wireless benefit. But sometimes you're in a school environment, say, or you're getting on and off a train and you want to use your Braille display, but really you could do without having wires all over the table and, you know, packing wires away, remembering to unplug everything, plug everything back in, get it all set up, you know, all of that sort of thing. In that case, just the convenience of not having wires is probably as good a reason as any to go down the Bluetooth line. And finally, on the subject of Bluetooth, a lot of Braille displays now will allow you to connect multiple devices at a time. So, for example, you could have an iPhone, you could have an Apple Watch, you could have a laptop, all connected via Bluetooth at the same time, and you could switch between them very easily. If you had a USB connection, you could only have one device connected via USB. So that means if you do need to control two computers, so for example, I have a work laptop and I have a personal laptop, and if I want to be working on both of those at the same time for some reason, I've got to at least use one of them on Bluetooth, because otherwise I've got to go through the faff of unplugging the Braille display from one laptop and plugging it into the other, and then unplugging and plugging in and unplugging and plugging in. It's not worth it. You could just do it via Bluetooth. Also, some laptops have interesting USB settings. Some laptops will not power USB devices properly. Some laptops have interesting driver policies. You might not have administrator rights to install drivers, all of that sort of thing. Some USB Braille displays do require drivers, and we'll talk more about drivers later. But if you're connecting via Bluetooth, the need for drivers is a lot less. And so you might find that if you're in a restricted environment where actually you're going to really struggle to install some of those drivers, Bluetooth is a very good option for you for getting yourself up and running quickly. So that's quite a lot of talk, and I'd quite like to break that up with some demonstrations. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about Bluetooth, and I'm going to talk about pairing your device with Bluetooth. And I'll do iOS first, and the reason for doing iOS first is because, by and large, the rest of this presentation is not going to be especially relevant for iOS users. So let's talk about iOS, and let's get these devices paired up. I have a Braillant BI40X in front of me, and I'm going to pair it to my phone. Before I do that, there's something very important that I need to make you aware of. And if your Braille display has already in the past been paired to your iPhone, or if your Braille display has been paired to an iPhone that looks very similar to your iPhone, you are going to need to tell your Braille display to forget your iPhone before it can be repaired. So this could happen. For example, let's say you've had a new iPhone for Christmas. You've restored that iPhone from an iCloud backup of your old iPhone. Your old iPhone was working perfectly fine with your Braille display, but for some reason, your new iPhone isn't. It's possibly because your new iPhone has the same name as the old iPhone. So when you try and pair it, your Braille display thinks, well, I already have a pairing with this device, so I don't need to bother pairing it again. So you need to make sure you've disconnected it and unpaired it from the Braille display, not just from the phone. I'm going to press enter on the terminal option on the Mantis. This would be called Braille display.
Connected devices.
So we have connected devices. And then if I press the space bar.
Add Bluetooth device.
Add Bluetooth device is where I want to be. So I shall press enter on there.
Activate your device in your host device's Bluetooth settings. Brailliant by 40x65-400002229.
So the Brailliant is now ready to be paired. The instructions would be very similar on the Mantis. On the Focus, they would be quite different, but the point would be that you'd need to get your device into a mode where it can be paired up with something. It is not in that mode by default. So here we are. My iPhone is now ready to be used.
WhatsApp, beta, 8 new
iPhone. Okay. And so now I need to pair the iPhone, the Braille display with the iPhone. So I'm going to find settings on my home screen.
Settings.
And I'm going to double tap.
Search field.
Okay. Now, there's something you need to know about this. When you go to settings, there are two places you can go. You can either go to Bluetooth or you can go to accessibility and then voiceover and then Braille. For the HID devices like the Mantis and the Brailliant BI40X and the Chameleon and the NLS e-reader, you would actually go to settings, Bluetooth. But I will just show you where the Braille displays are listed in case you have an older display. So I'll go down to accessibility.
Accessibility button.
There we go. So I've got accessibility. I'll double tap.
Vision heading. VoiceOver on button.
So there's VoiceOver.
VoiceOver speaks items on the screen.
Okay, very good. And I'll keep swiping right till we get to Braille.
Tap, double, learn, speak, Braille, button.
Okay, and I'll double tap.
Tip, launch apps with your Braille device.
All right. And if I go towards the bottom of the screen.
Brailliant BI40X, 654000000.
I can see my Braille display is there, actually. And if I swipe left once.
Choose a Braille display.
There's choose a Braille display. So your Braille display would appear in that list. You would see something like Focus 40 BT or Orbit Reader 20 or whatever it happened to be. You would see that in that list. And I'm seeing my Brailliant, but I'm not going to pair the Brailliant that way. I am going to go back in and pair it via the normal channel. So I'll do a two-finger scrub to get out of here.
Braille button.
And another one.
Vision heading.
And another one.
Accessibility button.
And I'm back on the main settings screen now, so I'll just scroll down a bit and find Bluetooth.
Matthew, Bluetooth on button.
Okay, marvellous. So I shall double tap on Bluetooth.
Bluetooth switch button on.
Okay, and I'll just see if I can find, if I swipe around, I'll see if I can find my Brailliant.
This my Sonos other in program. Brailliant BI40X.
Fantastic, and I'll double tap.
Brailliant BI40X, 654000000229. Connecting, Bluetooth, switch button, on.
Okay, and you'll have heard VoiceOver make a little doo-doop sort of noise, and that means that the Braille display has now connected. On my Brailliant, it said Venus connected, and is now saying Braille display, whereas before it was saying that thing about, you know, find your device in the host and all this sort of thing. And just to test that it works, I can use, say, space with dot one on the Brailliant.
Bluetooth heading.
There we are. We've now managed to get our Brailliant working, and it's all good. And I can now see, in fact, on the Braille display, Bluetooth HD for heading. And if I go space with dot one once more.
Settings, back button.
There we go. I can, in fact, see on the Braille display, settings, back button. And that is as simple as it gets, really, in terms of setting up a Braille display on iOS. I'd like to turn now to Windows. Windows is potentially a little bit more complicated, and it's worth just spending a bit of time on Windows, really. For this part of the demonstration, I'm going to be using JAWS, and I'm going to show you how to pair a Bluetooth device with Windows using JAWS. the thing to understand about Windows versus iOS, when you're in an iOS environment, the screen reader is built into the operating system. So all you need to do is go into settings and then into Bluetooth or settings, accessibility, voiceover, Braille, wherever it happens to be. All you need to do is connect the Braille display and then voiceover will see it and it will all start to work. On Windows, the screen reader is fundamentally a separate part of the operating system. And in fact, in a lot of cases, the screen reader is not part of the operating system at all. The screen reader is a completely separate piece of software. So unlike on the iPhone, there are actually two stages to pairing your Braille display with your computer via Bluetooth and indeed via USB. But USB is slightly easier and you don't normally need to worry about the first stage quite so much. But on a computer, these two stages. First of all, you've got to tell the computer, not the screen reader, but you've got to tell the computer that I want to connect this Braille display. So the Braille display knows about the computer knows about the Braille display. And that has got to happen first. That's like building the foundation of the house, if you like. You can't build a house on no foundations. You've got to get the computer and the Braille display talking to each other first. Once you've got the Braille display and the computer talking to one another, then you can start to tell the screen reader, listen, the computer knows about this Braille display. Can you go and hunt for it, please? And can you go and connect to it? So we need to get the computer bit sorted out first. I'm running Windows 11 and JAWS 2024, and I'm going to press Windows I to go to settings.
Settings, search box, find the setting, computer Braille.
All righty. So we're on settings. I'm on the search box, as you heard. I'm going to tab once and see what options I have.
Home, 1 of 12.
1 of 12. It's a list. It didn't tell me it was a list because I've got some interesting verbosity settings going on. I'm going to down arrow until I hear Bluetooth and devices.
System, 2 of 12. Bluetooth and devices, 3 of 12.
Marvelous. There we are. Bluetooth and devices. We'll press enter.
Bluetooth and devices. Bluetooth and devices.
All right. Now, from Bluetooth and devices, you can just try and pair up your Braille display from there. But there's something you might want to check first, which might just prevent a few things from going wrong. So I'm going to tab.
Bluetooth and devices, 1 of 1. System settings. View model. Setting entry, 1 of 1.
I don't know what that means.
Sonos Roam, Sonos 6 EEA. Categories, connect. Add device. View more devices. Bluetooth, on. Devices, 1 of 8.
All right. So I've kept tabbing for quite a long time until I heard another list view or a list box, devices, 1 of 8. And I'm going to press enter on this devices option and see what we've got.
Devices, Bluetooth, on.
All right, I'm going to keep tabbing.
Add device. Input, DOS keyboard 6 Pro, DOS keyboard 6 Pro, audio, ADA, category audio, other device, editor list D20, device settings, show notifications to connect using Swift Pair, download over metered connections, Bluetooth devices discovery, advanced.
Now, this is an interesting combo box. Bluetooth devices discovery is currently set to advanced. Yours is probably not. If I was to up arrow in this combo box,
default.
It's on default. So yours is probably set to default. And you may find that some Braille displays are not picked up when this setting is set to default. So it's a good idea before you try pairing it to just go in here and double check what's actually set up. And so we will set this back to advanced.
Bluetooth devices discovery advanced.
Okay, so it's back on advanced. You don't have to press an OK button or anything. It's all set up as it needs to be. It will save as it goes along. Now, just to give ourselves a slightly cleaner start, I'm actually going to press Alt F4 to come out of here. You don't have to do this, but it might make it a bit easier to follow if I do. So I'll press Alt F4. And I'll press Windows I for settings.
Settings. Search box. Find the setting.
And I'll go back, so I'll tab.
Home, 1 of 12.
And I'll go back to Bluetooth and devices.
System, 2, Bluetooth and devices, 3 of 12.
And press enter.
Bluetooth and devices, Bluetooth and devices.
Okay, I will just turn my Brailliant now back on, and it will make a few funny noises because it's also connected by USB, but we won't talk about that just yet. Okay, let's go, let's just make sure the Braille display is set up, so I'll go back to terminal. I'll go to add Bluetooth device, I'll press enter. It once again says activate your device in your host device's Bluetooth settings. Very good. Okay, so this is all set up. The Braille display is ready. I'll tab across.
Bluetooth and devices, 101. System settings. View model. Sonos Roam. Sonos Connect. Add device.
And I find add device. I have a Sonos Roam that is already paired, so it wants me to connect it. But your mileage may vary slightly, but eventually you'll come across an add device button. So I shall press the space bar.
UI.xaml.media.acrylic background source. Add a device. Device connection experience. Bluetooth.
Yeah, it likes to say stuff, doesn't it? It's very chatty and not always chatty in a particularly useful way. But eventually it said Bluetooth. So we'll press space on Bluetooth.
Choose the kind of device that you want to add. Cancel.
Okay, and it says choose the kind of device. Again, that's a little bit of a red herring. If I was to press the tab key now.
Brilliant by 40x65-4000-000229. Category unknown device.
There you go. There's my Brilliant, so I'll press enter on that.
Brilliant by 40x65-4000. Done.
And it's done. So I shall press enter on the done button.
Add device.
Very good. And that's, in fact, all we need to do in this particular window. So we're going to press Alt F4. So that is how to get your computer to recognize your Braille display. That is not how to get your screen reader to recognize the Braille display. That is how to get your computer to recognize the Braille display. I talked earlier on a little bit about drivers, and I said that USB Braille displays don't require drivers, and I said that Bluetooth Braille displays definitely don't require drivers. I said that a lot of the time that is true. Some older Braille displays do, in fact, still require drivers, and I think it's worth just taking a bit of a detour here to talk about drivers, largely because for most modern Braille displays, you don't have to go through the process of, if you're plugging in via USB, you don't have to go through the process of telling your computer about the Braille display. You can skip that step and you can go straight to the telling your screen reader about it part. The reason for that is because some modern Braille displays use, as I say, the HID, Human Interface Device, protocol. So the Orbit Reader is amongst that crowd, as is the Mantis and the Chameleon and the Brilliant and the NLS e-reader. Some devices like the Focus, you might need to install a driver, but because the Focus is manufactured by Freedom Scientific and JAWS is also manufactured by Freedom Scientific, if you already have JAWS installed, JAWS will install the Focus driver, so you don't need to worry in that case about installing the driver. Some displays, particularly the older displays, so I'm thinking about, for example, the Vario Ultra. I'm also thinking about the Braille Edge, the QBraille XL, any of your note takers like the BrailleSense 6 or the Braille Note Touch, or indeed the Braille Note Apex, any of those devices that you want to use, you will have to download a driver. And there are two types of driver that you need to be aware of. And the term driver is used interchangeably and it causes all sorts of problems. The first type of driver is the system driver, if you like. The system driver, which is quite often called the USB driver, does what I was just talking about with Bluetooth. The system driver, the USB driver, does the job of telling the computer, listen, when you see this strange device connected via USB that you have no idea what it is, you come talk to me and I'll tell you it's a Braille display. And specifically, I will tell you that it is a QBraille XL and that it's got these buttons in this order. And when you see this strange key press, you know, this strange set of things going on, this is what it means. So that is what the USB driver does. So you have to have, if your Braille display requires a USB driver, you have to have the USB driver installed before the screen reader will recognize the Braille display. I say some Braille displays, you don't need the USB driver anymore. But if the manual says have a USB driver, please do have the USB driver ready. The second driver that you need, and in fact, this is the case whether you're using Bluetooth or whether you're using USB, is the screen reader driver. Now, the screen reader driver is not, it's not doing the same function, actually, as the USB driver. The USB driver is telling the computer what this device is. The screen reader driver is interpreting the commands that are coming back from the Braille display and working out what to do with it. So, for example, when you press a panning button on your Braille display, the USB driver is the part of the puzzle that says, he just pressed this button, and we're going to call this button the right panning button. And it passes that information to the screen reader. It says, listen, this guy's just pressed the right panning button. The screen reader then comes along and says, oh, yeah, okay, we know about this thing called the right panning button. We are going to perform this action. And the reason why you have to have separate screen reader drivers for every single Braille display is because hardly any Braille display actually has a button that's actually called the right panning button. On the Brailliant and the Mantis, they are called previous. They're not called previous, back, advance, and next. That's what they used to be called. I think they're called previous, left, right, and next. On the Focus Braille displays, they're called nav rockers, or they might be called something else. You know, they might be called panning buttons, but they might be called left panning button and right panning button, or they might be called, you know, left up, left down, right up, right down. You know, on the Vario Ultra, they're called, I think they're called C1, C2, C3, and C4, C5, C6. You get the idea. They're very rarely actually called right panning buttons. So the computer will say, this guy's just pressed the next thumb key, and the screen reader needs to be able to say, okay, right, this is what that means. Or if your Braille display's got a Perkin-style keyboard, the USB driver is the thing that says, this guy's just pressed dot 1, 2, and 3. The screen reader has then got to take that and say, okay, yeah, dots 1, 2, and 3. That's a letter L. I'll type that into my document. The good news is that most screen readers have all of the screen reader drivers ready to go. There's not an awful lot of work that needs to be done to get that bit of the equation going. By far, I'm sorry to say, the most complicated screen reader for setting up screen reader drivers is JAWS. So I will talk about how to set up screen reader drivers in JAWS. I'm not going to talk about how to get hold of USB drivers because, as I say, it will probably tell you how to do that in the manual. There was probably a CD that came with your Braille display or a memory stick or some way, you know, a website download or something where you can go and get a USB driver from it. If you need a USB driver, just Google, I don't know, HIMSS USB driver or Freedom Scientific USB driver or Humanware USB driver, and it will most likely come up. So how to install screen reader drivers in JAWS. You do this through the Synthesizer and Braille Manager. And there are a couple of ways that you can get there, but the probably most useful way to do it is through the Utilities menu of the JAWS window. So if you Alt-Tab a bunch of times, you'll get to the JAWS window. You can also press Insert J. If you're in laptop keyboard layout, you can press Control Shift Caps Lock J, and that will get you to the JAWS window. I'm now going to press Alt U for Utilities. If you were running JAWS from the system tray and you got a JAWS context menu, just down arrow to Utilities and press Enter. And at that point, we will both be in the same place.
Utilities menu, JAWS tandem T.
All right, I'm going to down arrow. I think I can just press B, but just to be sure, I'll press down arrow for Synthesizer and Braille Manager.
Voice Assistant, notification is screen shaded, Synthesizer and Braille Manager, B.
Yeah, just as I thought, you can press B. Okay, fine. So we're at Synthesizer and Braille Manager. We'll press Enter on here.
Leaving menus, JAWS Synthesizer and Braille Manager. This list displays all synthesizers and Braille displays that are currently installed. To add or remove devices from this list, choose the Add, Remove, or Change Devices button. Speech synthesizers closed, one of two.
Okay, and I've got a tree view with speech synthesizers closed and Braille displays also closed. This shows a list of which drivers are already installed. If I want to install a new driver, so let's say I'm currently using a Brailliant BI40X, but let's say I've decided I don't like the Brailliant BI40X much. I'm going to go get a Mantis Q40. So I need to change my driver. I can press the Tab key to get to the Add button.
Alt plus P. Add, remove, or change devices, dot, 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 Alt plus A.
That's the one. There's a button, add, remove, or change devices. We'll press the space bar.
Select device type. Select the device type you want to add, modify, or remove. Select the device type you want to add, modify, or remove. Speech synthesizers, one of two, Alt plus S.
That's a group of radio buttons. I'll down arrow to Braille display.
Braille displays, two of two, Alt plus D.
And I'll tab across.
Next, Alt plus N.
To the next button, we'll press the space bar.
Select the Braille components you want to add or modify. Select components. Select the Braille components you want to add or modify. Select the Braille components you want to add or modify. List 1. Focus checked. 1 of 60.
All right. Now you will see I have 60 items in this list. Your list will probably be smaller than 60 items. very, very occasionally, you will come across a Braille display which JAWS doesn't natively have a driver for. So 60 items, I'm not going to go through all 60, but I'll just go through a few of the items. You can see that focus is at the top of the list.
Packmate display not checked, 2 of 60. Braille light all models not checked, 3 of 60. Optilec Alva BC6 not checked, Euro Braille not checked. APH Refresher Braille 18 not checked. Bomb Pronto Braille display not checked. Bomb Super Vario Braille display not checked. Bomb Una Braille display not checked. Bomb Vario Connect Braille display not checked. Bomb Vario Pro Braille display not checked. Eco Braille X64 not checked. Handy Tech Sign not checked. Braille Edge not checked. HIMS Braille not checked. Orbit Reader 20 not checked. Orbit Reader 40 not checked. 17 of 60.
And now you're starting to see why I'm arrowing down this list. Some Braille displays, like the older Brailliant displays, in fact, there was one driver. There was one driver that supported the Brailliant BI20, the Brailliant BI32, the Brailliant BI40, and the Brailliant B80. They were all on the one driver. Modern displays quite often, in fact, have those drivers separated out. So the Orbit Reader 40 has a different driver to the Orbit Reader 20. The Orbit Reader 20 driver also supports the Orbit Reader 20 Plus. This is because over time, some feature differences have emerged between the two Braille displays. So in the case of the Orbit 20 and the Orbit 40, the Orbit Reader 40 has cursor routers, whereas the Orbit 20 does not. So the Orbit Reader 20 driver cannot work with the Orbit Reader 40 because it doesn't know how to interpret those cursor routing buttons. And that's why you have a separate driver. So let's press enter. There's going to be quite a lot of drivers here because I've tested various Braille displays. But we'll just show you what happens when you press enter. It will ask you for to set some options.
Set options for the Focus display. Focus Blue Braille displays connect via USB or Bluetooth. Second generation Focus Braille displays connect through a USB port only. Set device options. Set options for the Focus display. Focus Blue Braille displays connect via USB or Bluetooth.
And it's just going to talk, but I'm on a combo box.
Edit combo. Select the output port. USB 1 of 2.
And I can see there's two options. One of them is USB.
Bluetooth.
And one of them is Bluetooth. So I will leave it on USB for now, but this is quite important. If you have a Focus display and you need it to connect via Bluetooth, you will need to change that from USB to Bluetooth.
USB.
I'll leave it on USB and I'll press enter.
Select the Braille display that you want to use each time you start JAWS. If the Braille display does not appear in the list, choose the back button and then select the one you want to use. Set primary device. Select the Braille display that you want.
Okay, and again, it's going to talk. I'll just see. We're in a combo box.
Combo box. Primary device. Focus. 3 of 3.
And I can see the primary device is set to Focus at the moment. If I up arrow.
Brailliant BI40X. 2 of 3.
I've got Brailliant BI40X. Now you'll notice the Brailliant BI40X didn't ask any of those fancy questions about is it going to be used via USB or Bluetooth. My understanding, based on having used the Brailliant BI40X in both USB and Bluetooth configurations, is that JAWS will first of all check to see whether it's connected via USB. If it is, it will use the USB option. If it's not connected via USB, it will then check to see if it can find a Bluetooth version. And if it can find a Bluetooth version, it will do this. So you don't need to manually specify which way to connect it because it will do all of that work for us. So I want it to use the Brailliant BI40X by default, so I shall press enter.
Okay, JAWS Synthesizer and Braille Manager. You must restart JAWS for the changes to take effect. Okay.
So I'll press enter.
JAWS Synthesizer and Braille
Manager. And now I'm back in Synthesizer and Braille Manager. I can safely press Alt-F4 to come out of here.
JAWS Professional.
There's another place in JAWS I need to show you very quickly, and that is in the Options menu of the JAWS window. So we do Insert J or Control Shift Caps Lock J, and then we'll do Alt-O for Options. Or if you're running from System Tray, go to Options in the JAWS context menu and press Enter.
Options menu, basics, dot, 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 B.
All right, I'm going to down arrow to Braille.
Voices, V, Braille, dot, 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 L.
And I could have pressed L, but I down arrowed instead. I'll press Enter.
Leaving menus, Braille basic settings. The active Braille display is Brailliant BI40X. Default Braille display, Brailliant BI40X, 3 of 4, Alt plus D.
That's right. So if you've chosen a Braille display as your default and you think, actually, look, this is not what I wanted, actually, you can go in here and you can change your default Braille display that way. I'm going to tab around because there's some interesting options in here.
Modify settings, dot, 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 Alt plus M.
So I can modify settings for that, which includes changing whether it's on USB or Bluetooth.
Add Braille display, dot, 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 Alt plus D.
This Add Braille Display button just takes you back into Synthesizer and Braille Manager where we started.
Advanced, dot, 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 Alt plus A.
This takes you into Settings Center, so this is where you would adjust your grade of Braille and so on.
Show Braille load error, Alt plus L.
And now we start to get to interesting things. Show Braille load error is a checkbox that I would recommend that you keep unchecked. But if for some reason your Braille display is just not working, checking that box could be useful because it will give you an error message when JAWS starts that says can't find the Braille display. That error message will tell you which Braille display it can't find, and it might tell you why it can't find it. So this could be a useful diagnostic tool for technical support.
Run JAWS without speech, Alt plus W.
All right, and this is the checkbox I really wanted to tell you about. Run JAWS without speech. So you'll know already, I'll just escape out of here because I mean, I've done all I need to do here.
JAWS profile.
You'll know already that you can press insert space in JAWS and then the letter S.
Speech on demand.
And that turns on speech on demand. You'll also know you can press insert space and shift S.
Speech offset to speech mute.
And that will turn my speech on demand mode into speech mute mode. So this has effectively turned off JAWS speech. I mean, JAWS is just not going to talk to me anymore. That's fine. But that setting will reset itself when JAWS restarts. If you want that setting to be permanent, if you don't want it to reset all the time when JAWS starts up, and if you don't want it to give you an annoying message that says, hey, your JAWS speech is turned off, to turn it back on, do this, because you can do it through Settings Center. If you really do not want JAWS to start without speech, the Run JAWS without speech option in the Braille settings is the checkbox that you want. You should use this with extreme caution, because if you turn on that checkbox, nothing will work. You cannot use insert space followed by S to turn speech back on again. It will literally run JAWS without speech. You can, in fact, press Control Insert S and choose a synthesizer that way, and then it will work. But fundamentally, it's going to launch without speech. And if you're not competent using your Braille display, you're going to struggle to get yourself out of that particular predicament. If you are comfortable using your Braille display, it's quite a nice thing if you actually do want to run JAWS without speech. A couple of other things I want to show you, which will not take nearly as long as JAWS did. I want to talk to you about NVDA. So I'll unload JAWS, and I'll quickly load NVDA.
News EN-the Braille.
The main reason why I want to do this is because I want to show you how much easier it is to set up Braille in NVDA than it is in JAWS. I'm going to press Insert N for the NVDA menu, or Caps Lock N if you're on a laptop.
NVDA menu.
Okay, I'm going to go down to Preferences.
Preferences submenu P.
And press Enter.
Settings dot 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 S.
And press Enter again.
NVDA settings, general, normal configuration, dialog.
Okay, and I'm going to down arrow to Braille.
Editing Braille 3 of 16.
All right, and I shall tab on.
Braille property page, Braille display grouping, edit read-only multi-line human wear Brailleant by / B series / Braille note.
That's fine, and if I want to change my Braille display in NVDA, I just press the tab key once.
Change dot 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 button Alt plus H.
And we'll press the space bar.
Select Braille display dialog. Braille display, combo box human wear Brailleant by / B series / Braille note touch collapsed Alt plus D.
And there you go. And I can just up and down arrow through the list.
Human wear Braille note. Hedo Profi line USB. Hedo mobile line USB. Handy Tech Braille displays. Euro Braille.
And there's a whole load of those. If I press the home key to go to the top of the list.
Automatic.
Automatic is one of the options. Now, full disclosure, having gone on and on about JAWS and how you need to go through a synthesizer and Braille Manager, JAWS does also, as of a fairly recent JAWS update, I think it was the back end of 2023, it may have been the front end of 2024, JAWS does also have an automatic option. If your Braille display is supported by the automatic option, and a lot of Braille displays are, to give it its due, the automatic option should work for you in JAWS, and JAWS should be plug and play. It has not been around nearly as long as the automatic option in NVDA has, and so I thought it was important to go through Synthesizer and Braille Manager if you're using an older version of JAWS, and I think many people probably will be, either because they can't afford to upgrade or because they're in a corporate environment. There is no automatic version, but there is an automatic version in the very, very most recent versions of JAWS, and so it's worth knowing about that. Okay, so that's how to do that in NVDA. Conscious of time, I'm not going to dwell too much further on that. I will come out of NVDA, and I will start JAWS back up again. I'm not going to talk about Braille in Narrator. This is partly because Braille in Narrator is still kind of under construction.
JAWS, news.
And it's partly because I don't know an awful lot about it. The one thing I do want to point out before we go to questions is that if you have Braille on Narrator, there may be a conflict between Braille in Narrator and Braille in any other screen reader that you have. So if your Braille is not working with JAWS or with NVDA, you might find that it's because Narrator is the culprit. If you want to check that, I'm going to press the Windows key to go to the Start menu.
Search box, computer Braille.
I'm going to type optional.
Optional features, system settings, optional features, system settings.
And optional features is what I want. So I shall press enter on optional features.
Settings, add an optional feature, view features.
And it takes me into settings, and I'll just tab through.
Optional features history, see history. Installed features, search installed features, optional features, sort option, optional features, 17 features found, extended theme content, show.
All right, so when it says, in my case, 17 features found, yours may be a higher or a lower number than that. One of the features in this list, you can just up and down arrow through it, and one of the features will be called accessibility Braille driver or accessibility Braille support. If you are experiencing problems with your Braille display, what you might want to do, it's completely counterintuitive, is press enter on the option that says accessibility Braille support. I'll do it on one of these other features just to kind of demonstrate what should happen.
Expanded.
So it says expanded, and I tab on.
Extended theme content, uninstall.
And there's an uninstall button. That's all you need to do. So press enter on accessibility Braille support, tab to the uninstall button. Press enter, it will uninstall it. And you may find, if you're not using Narrator, you may find that that is what makes your Braille display start to work again.
Okay, next is Maha.
Thank you so much for a really insightful and cogent presentation. So I'm part of an engineering team, and I was wondering, what do you think are the major challenges with Braille displays for smartphones? Like, if you could have a magic wand and just improve the Braille display for the smartphone, what would you think are, what would you say are the major pain points with it?
Wow, what a question. you don't get that every day, do you? Okay. So there's a few things actually that strike out at me. The first thing is the controls actually on a lot of Braille displays quite well thought out for some are more or better thought out than others, but you know, they're largely thought out for computers quite well. They're not often thought out terribly well for a smartphone. The best Braille display that I've ever used with a smartphone is actually a little Focus 14 fifth gen, and I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Focus displays. I don't particularly like the quality of the Focus cells. That's a personal preference thing, but I absolutely love the controls, and so, you know, really good solid Perkins keyboard and some decent controls, and if more displays were like that, that'd be brilliant. The other thing is the sheer reliability. I have issues, and this is not necessarily something that a Braille display can fix. This may be in the ballpark of, you know, the smartphone manufacturers are going to have to do something about it, but the sheer reliability, you know, you can be typing an email on a Braille display and belatedly realize half the email didn't come out because the Braille display lost connectivity, or the phone stopped communicating with the Braille display in quite the right way, and it's just a headache. It really is. And if we could get those sorts of problems sorted out, I think the rest would all sort of fall into place around it, really.
Thank you so much. It's very useful.
No trouble. Thank you.
Okay, Carla, you're next.
Might be beyond connectivity, but I'm trying to figure out how to get the Braille display to display information like font information, like when something's underlined and or bolded or something, and it doesn't seem to always happen. And so I don't seem to have a reliable way of knowing, and also how to get it to display the diacritical characters and foreign languages properly. And as I say, this may really be beyond connectivity, but I thought I'd give it a try.
Well, it's worth giving it a try on two counts. First of all, I might have the answer. And secondly, if I don't, well, the guys can write it down as a suggestion for a future topic. So always good to have it. Which screen reader are you using with your Braille display?
I'm using JAWS. and with a HumanWare, you know, by for
yeah,
the,
yeah.
You know.
But JAWS is the critical thing here. So the screen
I'm doing
reader
with JAWS. But if you think I should switch to NVDA, I'll install it and try it there. But
well, I don't necessarily know that you should switch to NVDA. I don't know that you shouldn't. It would certainly be worth having a play, and you wouldn't need to uninstall JAWS in order to do that, because JAWS and NVDA will coexist quite nicely on the same machine. So it depends how you want it to display, really. JAWS does not currently have support for the UEB bold, italics, underline, all of those signs. JAWS doesn't have support for those. The way that JAWS deals with this problem is you have to put the Braille display into something called attribute mode. Now, can I remember for the life of me on a HumanWare Braille display how to put JAWS into attribute mode? I'm going to have to do some homework on that, because I just can't remember how to do it. But there's a way of changing the Braille mode and putting it into attribute mode. And what that will do is it will replace everything that's on your Braille display. So if you've got the words, my name is Carla on the Braille display, and Carla is in bold, you'll get NN space NNNN space NN space B, 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 B. Do you follow how that logic works?
No, not really.
Okay, so you get a load of N's for normal up until the word Carla, which is in bold, and then it switches to B's. And so what you have to do is you have to count the number of characters, and you have to work out, okay, well, the bold started at character number 20. Now, where was character number 20 in my document? Now, I'm not an expert at doing this, so there may be somebody who really knows about attribute mode in JAWS who's just screaming at the radio now, who's saying, no, there's a much easier way of doing it. And if there is, I would also quite like to know about it. But as far as I understand how attribute mode works in JAWS, that's how it works. That's my understanding of it, certainly.
Well, would it be easier to just work and, you know, I mean, I don't UEB, and I have trouble with UEB anyhow sometimes. Would it be easier just to work in computer Braille, just set it for a computer Braille and do it that way?
Yeah, but maybe, but it still wouldn't show the attributes. I think you'd still need to go into attribute mode for that. I'm going to have to figure out now how to how to change that mode.
Okay, sorry to ask sort of an off-topic question.
No, I don't. I don't mind the question, but I just cannot remember how to do it. Oh gosh. No, I can't. I just can't remember. But give it. I'll keep thinking about it, and if I remember, I'll come back to you about it.
Okay, Pat has his hand up now.
Hi, I think you can hear me now.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to say that your presentation that you just did was the most understandable presentation I've ever experienced with Braille displays. And you had your speech, you know, at a really good rate for everybody to hear. You went through what we needed to know and so on. And I just thank you for it, because now I know that I will be able to, you know, go through my things and see what I can do. If not, I'll see you at the Braille bar.
Well, that is very kind of you. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate that. That's,
no
that's
worries.
Very, very kind feedback.
So since we're getting close to the bottom of the hour, and we'll have you come back. We're booked up almost through the convention, both NFB and ACB. We'll have you come back afterwards as well, which will be sometime in July. But in the meantime, if somebody wants to communicate with you, etc., how can they do that?
The easiest way is probably by email. If you email me at my Braillists address, so that would be Matthew, MATTHEW, dot Horsepool, HORSPOOL, at Braillists, BRAILLISTS .org.
Very good. And if anybody listening did not get it, just let us know. and we'll get back to you and pass that along.
As now, I do have an answer to these questions.
You
You'll
do?
Be pleased to know.
Oh.
I do.
Great that you can multitask.
Yeah, well, something like that. Okay. So I actually have an interesting answer because there's something I didn't think about. So the keystroke you want to change the Braille mode on the HumanWare devices is space with middle C. So that's space with dots 2-5. That's going to change your Braille mode. So that will change it between line, structured, speech output, and attributes. And it's on structured by default. So that's where you want it to end up. The other thing you can do, I hadn't thought about this, but it will work a lot more effectively for you. If you press, instead of space with dots 2-5, if you press space with dots 3-6, that will come up with a list of attributes that you can turn them on or off. So for example, I've just turned bold on in this list, and I'm in a document and says this is a test. And because I've turned bold on, the word test, because test is bolded, the word test has got a dot 7 and 8 underneath it. So I don't know why it's got a dot 7 and 8 underneath it, right? It might be bolded, it might be italicized, it might be underlined, but I know that there's something interesting about this, and so I can route the cursor to it, and I can press insert F or caps lock F, and I can find out some more about it. So those are the two keystrokes I give you. Those are HumanWare keystrokes. The scripts that they're calling, if you wanted to look them up for other Braille displays, the space with 2-5 to change mode is calling Braille toggle mode, and space with dots 3-6 to list the attributes is Braille toggle marking. So if you have another Braille display, go into the keyboard manager and look for Braille toggle mode and Braille toggle marking, and that'll give you your keys.
There's something you didn't expect to be able
thank
to get
you,
tonight. That's marvelous. Thank you, Carla, for being patient. It was excellent. Good stuff. And Matthew, thank you so much again. Really, really enjoyed it.
That is no trouble. Thank you very much for hosting me. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a great session. Thank you so much.
You're
and
welcome.
Thank you for being such a good audience.
John, what's happening next week?
Well, next week we're going to take a look at a little device that's been very popular amongst a lot of us in the blind community, and it's the new line of Zoom handheld digital recorders. I have my H4 Essential sitting here right in front of me, and the manager in charge of all of that from Zoom, Samuel Green, will be with us next Monday night. We'll talk about the Zoom products, and they're all accessible, which is really that and having 32-bit float. You have to tune in to find out what that is. But the fact that they're accessible has really made them a hit with blind people. And that's from the Zoom perspective. Now, later in May, Jonathan Mosen, who has done all of his terrific demos and been in touch with Zoom a lot, will be with us to talk about these same recorders from the perspective of a blind user. So accessibility is one of the major keys, and you can hear more about that with Samuel next week and with Jonathan in May. So that's a long-winded way of saying we're talking Zoom next week here on Tech Talk.
And thank you so much for being with us. Join us next week on Tech Talk.